case you missed it on our Instagram, we are throwing a charity game. Kick the Stigma is coming November 16th on our YouTube channel.
We're getting a bunch of Toronto influencers involved. If you want to see more information, you can click the first link in the description to donate and check out our Instagram in the coming weeks for updates. Over to the episode. Boys, to start us off, who has had the worst start to the season, Liverpool or PSG?
What the
That's
fuck?
That's crazy.
That's actually nuts.
That's a crazy question.
Is that an unfair comparison?
Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, is that 100? Yeah. I don't think PSG's had a bad start to the season.
No, but when you know, expectations.
Yeah, we take everything into account. They should be like 7 points clear by now.
So let me just preface by saying this. Yesterday, Julian tells me, I have a great question to ask to start off the pod tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm not going to tell you yet. I thought he was going to do something. Is it Arsenal's league to lose now? Something like that. I was preparing myself. Okay. This guy is just straight clowning me off the top.
That's good. That's good. That's why we should be. You just won everything last year. You can take a bit of criticism.
Fine, you're doing fine. You're not used to this kind of heat.
Clown us now. We'll talk in 6 months' time.
All right.
You have the Barca win, and that's basically it.
I mean, I'd argue it's probably the most important win.
Yeah, I know. No, but you know, Liverpool have big wins too. They have big wins against Arsenal, but
Fraudulent win. Yeah.
But also in those performances, you're not seeing exactly what you want to see, and now the results are kind of catching up to both of you. You're obviously doing better in the league points wise, but if you told me that was 8 games in,
yeah,
8 games in, that PSG wouldn't be leading.
I vividly remember last year.
In any case, whether it's Monaco, whether it's Marseille, whether it's whoever, then that's almost unacceptable for PSG.
I vividly remember last year telling you guys, or when Monaco was ahead of us, you guys were clowning me, quote unquote clowning me, for Monaco being first at around the same period of the season as this year. And I was telling you guys it's deserved because they've been the best team so far. They had been the best team playing the best football at that point. I will say the exact same thing for Marseille this season. They have the best attack in the league. They scored the most goals and they have the best defense in the league. They conceded the least amount of goals.
If at any point PSG is not leading Liga, it is a disgrace.
And I don't want to blame it on injuries, but I think at this point I might have to. Because if you look at the starting 11 that was fielded against Strasbourg, notably. I think we need to, it goes beyond that. And we'll talk about PSG later in the episode. But I think it goes beyond just the injuries and we're going to have to put responsibilities where responsibilities need to be put. Mm. But you're telling me with a full fit squad that PSG would be second in the league, that same spot they are right now?
I guess we'll never know because they don't have one.
Well, I think I know. And they'd be first.
Again, we'll talk again in 6 months' time. Will you be okay? Probably. I feel better about PSG than I would about Liverpool. However, expectations
Liverpool
in
have
your
had the
domestic
worst start
leagues,
to the season, objectively.
Which is an embarrassment in itself, by the way. But, you know.
Yes. Well, let's start off with Liverpool, lads. Welcome back, everybody, to the 6 Yard Box Podcast. This is episode 125, I believe, of the 6 Yard Box Podcast, where today we are talking about United's big win yesterday over Liverpool. Our first win in the league at Anfield in just about 10 years.
Yeah, last manager to do it was Louis van Gaal.
Crazy. We're also talking about Arsenal going to Craven Cottage, grabbing a win. Is Gyökeres something to worry about?
No,
maybe not. I don't know. City grabbing a win home against Everton. How does the title picture look? We have a little Clasico preview. We have the Der Klassiker that just happened this weekend. And then we have a couple of talking points in Serie A as well.
I know Blake will be happy to share his Serie A knowledge.
Yeah, I really dislike the Serie A, guys.
I don't blame you this week. I think, you know, we know about Hater Central, right?
Yeah, like
they did a dedicated post to Serie A this week.
No, they did not.
4-0-0, 4-0-0 results this week, and Hater Central posted them.
Hater Central.
Serie Ass was the tagline.
Hater Central is here, some would say.
Yeah.
They're very here. I love that. Right.
We are indeed here. I am here joined by European champion Antoine. Never forget.
Don't forget.
And then we have Arsenal fan, Blake.
Wow, why'd you say it like it was a slur, bro?
Because you can't tie Arsenal
because
it was
like
champion.
European champion, and then
okay, fair. Yeah, there's a dichotomy there. I get you.
And then if we go even lower than that, we have Man United. can start with them, lads.
But you're on a high right now.
I am on a high. It's not very common where I'm coming onto the pod and I'm absolutely elated with the latest Man United result. Fun fact, this is Ruben Amorim's first back-to-back wins in the Premier League. Only took him a year. Big up.
I'm starting to like Ruben low-key.
I think he's been a likable guy.
And
this
I saw
whole
time. Him on the touchline, and I saw him like even just his reactions to the goals on the weekend. I don't know. There's a bit of aura to that.
He's a very likable guy. Yeah. This is why the last year's been so tough, because you don't want to hate him. If this was any other manager or a less charismatic manager that was leading us through our statistically worst period in club history, then I don't know how anyone would survive this. But I don't know. He just has a way of words. He just does.
He's just blunt. He says things how they are.
And sometimes it is very self-deprecating, and it almost seems like he's kind of shying away from the blame because he's so, like, it's like, oh, of course we're bad. Mm. We're just terrible. So it can get a little bit too far
but
sometimes.
But then he's not wrong. He reminds me of Varane.
Yeah, but it's like, that's also not what a manager should say all the time. But it does help in certain situations, and it helped this weekend in some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All he had to do was sign Sonny Lemens and start him. That's for two wins in a row.
Is that how you resume this this success?
That's how.
Okay.
We have, I believe, Brighton next.
And then Nottingham Forest.
And then Nottingham Forest. Mm. And then
Tottenham
away. We could get five in a row, lads.
five in a row. United Strand is...
five in a row?
He's cutting his hair.
I guarantee you we lose to Brighton next week. But anyways... Let's talk about this game at Anfield.
By the way, just before he starts talking about it, he says this, I guarantee you, to save himself.
Oh,
to save face.
100%. I do it too. I do every game.
Yeah, you do it too. Sorry.
I'm not saving myself from any embarrassment if we lose.
Because we're so shit. We're so shit. Right?
No, I'm just saying, don't take any heat off me because, gosh, like, this is exactly what I told you would happen. No, I'm just saying it because every single time... United has had a big result against a big team. When we make it a game and we take it to them, we then go away to a not as hard opponent and we absolutely shit the bed.
So
this has happened so many times.
Brighton
this year.
Do play good football though, so I wouldn't be surprised if you guys bring it to them as well.
If I hate watch you guys next week, when I hate watch you next week, will you play this card again? Like, oh, we're still bad and like you're so obsessed with us. Are you going to play that card or you just be Liverpool and now you got some street cred back?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Just depends where he wants to take it.
The thing is with United, right, is whether we could be playing Liverpool, we could be playing Grimsby Town, it's going to be a game. It's going to be back and forth. It's going to be very tight. There's very rarely going to be more than one goal in it, and it could really go either way, no matter who we're playing.
Mm.
So, you know, to win five games in a row, we just need to win a coin toss five times in a row, you know? It's statistically tough, not impossible, but that's kind of where I've been at with United. Question now is this kind of the same thing going on in this Liverpool result where it was just a game that could have gone either way? Or do you look deeper than that and go, okay, this may be United turning a corner now? I don't know.
There's a 1 in 32 chance of landing heads five times in a row, which equates to a 3.13% clip.
Thank you, Blake.
So that's by his valuation, that's his chances.
Yeah,
I think it's a little more complex than flipping a coin, but
I think so too.
But that's essentially what it's been. I think there's like a, I think someone gave us like a 15-20% chance of winning five games in a row at any point this season.
Some good odds.
I think it's actually. It's very close statistically. I think I saw some breakdown of this where someone said it's actually statistically more likely that Erling Haaland breaks Alan Shearer's record of goals in the Premier League before Man United wins five games
in a row
when United Strand cuts his hair.
Well, like
at the current clip.
Looking at the league, no team is on pace to win five games in a row.
Villa just won five games in a row.
No.
I mean,
like
Arsenal,
in all competitions,
Arsenal have won five games in a row.
No,
in all comps.
Oh, in all comps.
Yes,
he does all Prem. Comps. Oh, okay, I see. Yes. But in the Prem, at least, like teams don't win five games in a row.
Yeah, that's very rare.
Very rare. Five games in a row, you win.
Yeah.
So in that sense, which is pretty much all you guys have, right at this point, right now,
FA Cup.
It's starting. No, FA Cup starts in like January, for you guys at least. It should, right?
We're a bit shit, so it may start before.
Fair. But you understand my point. Like, it's still tough. But you got the two wins on the trot. And you never know what can happen. You guys played well. We talked about this earlier, but I'd say you deserve to win for the most part. I know they had chances, but at the end of the day, score effects, you guys had to sit back a little bit more, but you were threatening throughout most of the game.
This is only the first or second time this season that we've lost the XG battle, and I'm not saying that's everything, but, you know, a lot of times you could say we've been unlucky to not come away with points in games, and this one, you can argue the opposite. I'll take it. XG taketh, XG giveth.
Giveth. I agree. I think there's a lot of times where Liverpool could have scored and they didn't. A lot of crossbars, a lot of posts in this game, especially after Gakpo scores his goal. There's a lot of defending going on from United. They kind of step back fully until you have that chance that from that corner where it comes back to Bruno. He sends it back in.
Beautiful, by the way.
Beautiful.
Harry Maguire.
So good.
I saw a take from somebody that Harry Maguire is our second best signing post Fergie.
I mean,
and I don't like it.
That's crazy.
Because so for Bruno's the first won? Like 3 years, he was regarded as maybe the worst ever signing we've had post Fergie. And now it's like, sure, he's had a couple big moments. He's been very clutch for us the past couple of years, but I don't know.
Well, his role's changed, right?
I don't think it's crazy to say that Harry Maguire is one of the most clutch players in world football right now.
I mean, yeah. Over the last, like you said.
And it's crazy to say.
3 years, you have the Europa League goal. You have this one against Liverpool.
Listen to this. This is in 2025 only. In February, he scores against Leicester, the winner, in the FA Cup. Then later in that month in February, he scores against Ipswich in the Premier League.
Yep.
We remember that one. Then in April, against Lyon, scores the winner.
Yep.
To qualify Manchester United into the semifinals of the Europa League. And then today, and then this weekend, he scores the winner against Liverpool. I mean, this is a center back we're talking about.
It is. I mean,
and
when
he's
gets
scoring
to the dying,
winners.
When it gets to the dying stages of the game, he's not a center back. He's
fair enough.
He's a striker. And a very
but it's his ability to almost always find the back of the net when Manchester United need it more.
Yeah.
I mean, some people complain about it. I remember sitting here and saying that at some point you're going to have to rely on somebody else than Harry Maguire to score your goals. But the fact of the matter is that when you need it, when you need someone there, it always seems to be Harry Maguire.
Mm. Yeah.
At least as of late. And that's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't even know what to think of him because you ask me almost every summer the past 3 years whether I want him to stay or go. And it's been I want him to go. He's usually just been like a kind of dead weight in the squad. I don't know if I want to be relying on a center back to win us games as reliably as we have been turning to Harry Maguire. I don't even know if I want him to start in this one over Lenny Yoro. Or maybe Luke Shaw could have gone out. But either way, like his role has changed so much in the United team. And I think with that, I think getting, you know, losing the captaincy as well, silver lining, I guess, has been his perception from fans has completely changed. It's been a complete 180 from what it's been 2 or 3 years ago. You know, I remember he got stripped of the captaincy from Ten Hag and the whole fan base was celebrating. And he would go on to do interviews. And I remember every fan would go and dissect it and talk shit about him. And there's like a bomb threat to his family or something. Like, wow. United fans did not like this guy. And to see the flip over the past couple of years has been good to see.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, do like Harry Maguire. He's a good guy.
Very visibly a good guy.
Yeah.
And especially after, as soon as death threats are involved, I think that goes beyond football. That's it's very messed up.
Absolutely. Other flowers to give out to United players. I mean, Mateusz Cunha, I just want to say a quick thing.
Oh, second half. Because let's not talk about the first
half. His little escape on the left wing.
I mentioned
in like the 70th minute or whatever it was ridiculous.
I think it was later than
like
that.
Three or maybe five of those. Yeah. Like, this is the thing, like, when you're having, we kind of saw this in the opening game of the season against Arsenal too. When you have players like Mbeumo and Cunha that are used to playing these kind of games against the big teams where you need ball retention, you know, you're holding on to a lead or you're holding on to a draw and you need a guy to just retain the ball. We haven't had those types of players in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the last guy that I remember seeing in a United shirt doing what Cunha was doing in terms of ball retention and looking so calm on the ball was like a Paul Pogba a couple years back. Like, this is like a prime example of like an absolute like footballing masterclass at some moments in this game without the XG, without the high FUT mob rating, without like this new way of like judging players leaves gaps like of this. Course, where like this course. Is a great yeah. performance,
but
these
I also
are flowers to be given out that you would never even see.
For sure, I also don't think that we should be talking about him. His first half, because his first half
first half was fine.
I think. Bro. I mean,
it was more in Burma, but and Ahmad, but yeah.
No, I mean, I thought Ahmad was very good in the first half compared to. Oh, you're saying Ahmad was on the good side.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying Cunha was on the bad side in the first half, where he was a little bit anonymous. He wasn't really there at times.
I didn't see him much.
His second half, yes, and I think what makes him so good is that it's his technical ability, his ease on the ball, and when you pair his technical ability with his tenacity and his hunger to always want to be proactive, always want to be that guy to switch something, to make something happen. When you pair that with his technical ability, I mean, it's a recipe for success.
Absolutely.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
This is a guy that in tough moments, you can rely on, you can give him the ball, come save us. And sure, he hasn't had the goals and assists this season. Say the same thing for Florian Wirtz. And I know you don't like this conversation, but the fact of the matter is that he will be that guy at some points of the season that when you need him to do something, when you need something to change, you give the ball to him and you let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm. Lamens as well. Can we talk
about talk to me about Sene Lamens.
Sene Lamens, man. Are we overrating Sene Lamens?
Yes.
Maybe. But this is what happens, right? Like, this is the same thing that was happening with Chelsea a couple years back, where coming off of Kepa Arrizabalaga, they had Edouard Mendy, and the love towards Edouard Mendy was warranted in a lot of times, of course, but maybe it was a touch overrated at some point, and then a couple years later, you're kind of like, okay, maybe we overrated this guy a little
bit. Edouard Mendy was a good
goalkeeper. He was good in that Champions League year, of course. Maybe this is the same situation with Lamens. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but of course, this was going to happen with any competent keeper coming to United after Andre Onana
and
Altay Bayinder.
I thought you'd be glazing him a little bit more.
Well,
we're getting into it now. Okay, got you.
I do love this man.
Yeah.
You know what? No BS. You come into the team and the claiming of the crosses, fantastic to see. I have not, God, you do not understand.
Just
I know
say
you
it. Too.
This sounds so stupid when you've been employing the best keeper in the world for the past couple of years.
Chevalier is the best keeper.
Raya is also up there. Like, you do not understand how United fans have been depraved of security.
I think we understand.
Watching a team.
I think these last few years have
helped
us understand a little bit. Yeah,
but from that perspective, no.
Every cross that went in, every corner, the anxiety that I am now relieved of with Lamens and goal. Oh, amazing. It's De Gea-esque. The saves are De Gea-esque as well.
Jesus Christ.
Isaac save, love to see.
Well, looks like I hate him now.
This is what I wanted. Like, I didn't want to go too hard on it.
No, he's good. But I think it is probably the overreaction does stem from you just haven't had a serviceable keeper for 2 years.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So I don't
want him to suddenly become overrated.
Yeah, I get it.
With any United player that's playing slightly well, that's going to happen to some degree.
I mean, you were telling me this last week, before this game. Like, you weren't here.
He
was saying baby De Gea.
That was the clip, dude.
He is
baby De Gea.
He is baby De Gea.
All right. Yeah.
Well, then eventually his footballing with his feet is going to fall off and ship him off to somewhere else. It is true that he does bring a sense of security. And I feel that even as a non-United fan, after watching United for all these years, if it was Onana or Bayindir lately this season, man, I mean, I was putting myself in some United fan shoes and I would hate to be there to be a fan because... Yeah. Oh my God. Like you said, every cross, every corner, you were panicking.
Yeah.
And the keeper was panicking too. But now, I can feel what you're feeling a little bit, even as a non-United fan.
Don't overreact, lads, but I love this man with all my heart. And he might be the best goalkeeper in the world. Anyways.
So now we're overreacting.
Let's overreact to Liverpool, please.
Oh, I know Blake's here for that. I think this is why Blake is here right now.
Arne Slot is delusional, dude. This man hasn't been under any hint of pressure being in Liverpool for over a year now. And to finally see it, I'm seeing cracks already. I'm seeing cracks. The quotes coming out from Arne Slot at the moment. What
are they?
I just want all football fans to keep this energy with Arne Slot that they do with everyone else. I won't even play Arsenal agenda here. I'll play footballing agenda. Mm-hmm. Keep this energy with Arne Slot.
What's the energy right now?
Because what he's chatting about in his post games are ridiculous. He's what did he say about the squad rotation thing? Like, what is he talking
first
about?
First, he said, we've seen Sesko play the last 3, 4, 5, or 6 times, but they go to Liverpool and they change the lineup. That's not the first where we face a team and they've done that.
Ah, so squad rotation.
Arne Slot is now realizing that teams can change their starting 11, guys.
Yes.
It's crazy. He also made a lot of snark comments about United playing low blocks. He said it's always difficult to play against a team that defends in a low block and mainly plays
which
the long
isn't
ball.
Outrageous.
It is even more difficult when you go one down after 1 minute when one of our players are on the floor.
Which isn't outrageous.
That was on the floor from his own teammate. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. The McAllister thing, yes. But saying that you guys went in a low block after scoring the goal isn't crazy. Like, you guys weren't exactly being the most positive football team ever.
But I wouldn't say it was like a haram ball low block, though.
No, it
also,
wasn't.
Also, why the hell would we go to Anfield and not play
a low
block?
Yeah, bro, we do the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
every
it's
team
stupid.
Goes to Anfield and plays a low block. Yeah. Are you serious right now? But yeah, the salt from Slot, so good to see.
The cracks are showing, man. Like, the team's not playing good.
I think, look, you can blame Arne Slot, and I don't want to not blame him, but I think you need to look beyond Arne Slot because
absolutely.
The players are just not at the
100%.
Level. The players are not at the level, and that doesn't mean that Arne Slot isn't to blame. I think Arne Slot should have made better decisions in this game specifically. Let's talk about the starting 11. Mm. In a period where Liverpool is struggling, I don't know why he doesn't want to start the players that are in the best form. Ekitike, I would even start, I'm obviously not the coach, I would even start Federico Chiesa. Every time he comes on, he shows positive signs of wanting to change something in the game.
Absolutely.
And you don't do that, and you start Isak, who has had a slow start to the season. You start Salah, who has had probably the worst start of any season in his career.
Yeah.
And you just fall in the same slump that you've been in for the last 4 games. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me at the end of the day that they lost this game.
Well, and that's why I think he's been getting a lot of heat online is the Salah thing. I've seen a lot of Slot out, which I think is crazy. Like, I've seen genuine, blatant posts about Slot out, which, wow. I think it's spoiled brattiness after 4 games.
But I also, I'm not saying you should go. But I'm saying the pressure,
100%.
I understand.
But after 4 games, after you literally just won the Premier League, when no one pinned you to do so, you're saying Slot out as a fan? Holy shit, after the window you just had? My goodness, like, cry more. Cry more. Like, the world is ending. It's actually so bratty, the fact that they want that.
I haven't seen a couple. Like, but there's going to be that one crazy
guy.
Yeah,
but it's you're right.
Maybe I'm just chronically online, but you always hate my Twitter takes. Let me have my Twitter takes.
Because you're saying it like it's a consensus.
But it is, bro.
No, it's not a consensus.
It's not a consensus. I'm just saying I've been seeing a lot of Slot out. What do you want me to say?
Fair. Go on.
There's just people
but
that do it for
my point is that people are really mad that he left Salah on for so long. And, like, rightfully so. Salah was completely ineffective for most of this game.
And most of the season. But this is my thing with Salah. Now that he has his extension, now that he's on the back of this incredible season, you almost can't bench him. Mm. And I don't think Arne Slot is willing to bench a player like Mohamed Salah. And that is, at the end of the day, that's what's going to kill Liverpool, in my opinion.
That's fair.
If Mohamed Salah continues to be started in these games, if he continues to play how he's playing right now, I don't think Arne Slot has the balls to bench a Salah. Mm. I don't think he has the balls to do that.
And that really could make or break his tenure.
I think it could break his tenure, but most importantly, this could make or break their season.
Yeah, it's fair. But, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you kind of did bring in Wirtz and Isaac or Isak and everyone else around him to help with Salah not having to score all the goals.
But I can also say that it's almost the same thing for those players. You paid that much money.
That's what exactly my
He's
point.
He's not going to want to bench them.
Fair. I mean, he did, though.
He did with Wirtz, and I thought Wirtz's cameo was good. I'm going to be honest.
Double 10, though.
Changed the game, yeah.
Double 10.
You can say double. You can keep saying that.
Oh, wait, guys. Wirtz got the hockey assist, everyone. Way! if you got the pass before the assist. Way.
If you think Florian Wirtz is the first man to blame in that Liverpool team.
I don't. It's just fun to hate on him, guys.
Why is it fun to hate
because
on him?
Because he's 0010.
He's 0010, but he's shown things in the game that suggests that he's a better player than what the stats show.
Do you like hating on him?
I like hating on anybody.
That's a Liverpool player. He's a Man United.
I don't know though. Like it's just maybe I'm just a D1 hater, but I don't know how. It's a joy.
It's a known.
It's a joy to see that bug-eyed Isak do absolutely nothing.
Completely on the same page as you with Isak because I think it's detestable what he did to Newcastle.
Yeah,
and it's fun to see him.
It's karma. Yes. And Hugo Ekitike, who the first guy they signed because they didn't think they could get Isak, showed how good he could be in the Premier League. He hasn't gotten a sniff. And that's crazy to me.
That pisses me off. Pisses me off.
Because honestly, you tell me right now, any team going up against Liverpool, if they would rather play Isak or rather play an in-form Ekitike, of course it's Ekitike, but he's not playing. And that's crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. It blows my mind that Ekitike only came on at the 70th minute against Manchester United. It blew my mind that he wasn't starting, but it blows my mind that he waited that long to sub on an Ekitike. And as soon as Ekitike came on, he was the guy to make the difference in the game. Him and Chiesa. You could tell it was proactive from the second he came on. That player has so much confidence right now.
Agreed.
He is still in a Frankfurt shirt in his mind. He does not feel the pressure of playing for Liverpool.
Yeah.
And when you have a player that is firing off all cylinders like that, you cannot start him on the bench in a game that is that important in a moment of your season that is that pivotal when you are struggling.
Yeah.
He is the player that can save you from these struggles right now because a Salah can't do it, Isak can't do it, a Gakpo maybe can do it, but if you want to pick a player that's going to change something in that attack right now, it's Alexander. It's Hugo Ekitike.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, we need to... That's a really good point. But I think we do need to identify the defense as well, who have been shocking this
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
Shocking. Like, yes. Van Dijk has been fine at times, but there's just so many moments where
Van Dijk against Manchester United. I don't know what you guys' verdict is on him, but I did not like him at all.
I much preferred
Konate over Van Dijk.
I think Konate had a better game, but I think this pairing as a whole is just declining very fast.
The whole back line. I mean, Mamardashvili was shit as well. Kirkez was shit.
Mamardashvili was very tentative in goal. Very tentative.
Yeah, there's questions with
I think on both goals, you can make an argument you should have done that.
Well, and that's, I think, also a huge psychological factor of why maybe the defense has looked weak over the last couple
of weeks. With Alisson in there, too, they look shaky as well.
But my point is, if your goalkeeper is tentative on crosses, isn't feeling confident with the balls coming into the box, that the back line senses that. The back line can feel that. It puts more pressure on them with a Kirkez, who's like more of an attacking fullback anyway, doesn't really know how to play in his system yet. Connor Bradley, who shouldn't really be starting because that's not the guy you want there.
Yeah. I mean, Connor Bradley, I'm fine with.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Because he's.
But that's not what
he's been fine, but he's not supposed to be.
No, exactly. And then, like, whether it's Van Dijk twerking in one picture after leaving a guy open to shoot or Konate making a mistake. Every week, one of the two center backs, they're flip-flopping whether they're being good, whether they're being bad, and you need both of them to be on, and they both haven't been on this season.
Yeah, I think there's a real mentality problem right now in this Liverpool team.
It's confidence.
It's confidence. Yeah, and that fucks up your mentality. I think we need to stop at Kirkez a little bit. We need to talk about Kirkez. Because apart from the Arsenal game this season, what has he shown so far?
Nothing. Absolutely fucking jack shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable just the amount of crosses he was spamming in the box against United. And there's this one moment in the game specifically where Van Dijk kind of clears the ball and Kirkez is in a weird position. And then the second camera, cuts to Van Dijk. And you can tell his face, he looks at Kirkez and he's like, what are you doing there almost?
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a chemistry issue there.
I've seen that a couple times with Van Dijk.
He'll
give these looks over to his defenders.
Exactly.
And like,
But this is not the Kirkez we were watching at Bournemouth last year.
No, and this isn't the Van Dijk Kirkez that we know. This isn't the Konate we know. Like,
and we'll give him time. Like, I'm still waiting on. I'm in the waiting room with Kirkez. Like, I'm still waiting.
Sure,
of course.
But you need results now.
100%. You do. 100%.
So the only Liverpool player that is slightly is able to hold his head high for his performances this season. I mean, the starter in this game is Gakpo.
Yeah.
Gakpo is the only one where you're like, good performance, yeah, happy with what you've been giving.
And even then, so like, he's probably mad at himself for not scoring two or three.
I'd put forward Szoboszlai as well.
Yeah, he's been decent.
Who, after a good end of season, of last season, he's started
and he's been versatile, which is good, exactly, which is what they've needed.
Great right back. Yeah. Great right back.
I do have a question, though. Back on my Wirtz hate. When will one of you fully be on my side with he needs to score or do something?
No, I'm on that side already. He needs to score or do something. But
what's
like,
the number of games?
No, but this is...
More for Antoine, maybe, because you're kind of... But, like, guys!
He does. Absolutely, he does. Like, it's just... I think we're talking about Wirtz and we're talking about why he's not doing well. And I think we're having this whole conversation of like, look how bad Liverpool are as a unit. Look how shit this whole environment is. Look how low on confidence the players are. We talk about it systematically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn around and then when we talk about Wirtz, it's all on Wirtz. It's all individual.
That's what
it's all individual on him. It's kind of ignoring this part a little bit, and it's all like, no, you fat bat, you fucking suck. You can't string a pass together. You're not scoring. You're not assisting. But you. When like, I feel like you need to kind of bring this over into the larger conversation of like, why isn't he doing so well? He's not embedding to the Premier League very well. Maybe his teammates aren't fostering the best environment for him. You know, maybe this player and this player doesn't fit the best well. Like,
but it's his job to do well. It's his job to be the best player on the pitch. His job. And you guys give him so much leeway. It's his job. When they're not steering the ship straight, he is supposed to orchestrate it straight. He's supposed to be even better than what he is right now.
Of course.
He is, simply put.
But this is, I'm fucking with you on that. Like, 0010, fucking Ben 10 memes I'm seeing. Love that show back in the day. I love them.
That's pretty good.
They were so fucking hilarious. But, like, I think just as, like, to have the proper conversation, like, yes, if this was year two, year three Wirtz, like, absolutely, you're looking at him the same way we're looking at Salah and Van Dijk right now.
Okay.
You are the leader in this team. You're the one over everybody that needs to be stepping up right now and taking accountability for what's going on with your team. But if you're looking at Wirtz to lead this Liverpool team, this is the worst time to do that. It's his first 10 games with the team. He's not coming in there like he'd come into like, you know, a U12 rec league team where just automatically he's a man against boys. Obviously, Wirtz has talent, but when he needs to adapt to the Premier League, adapt to the tactics, foster himself into the team environment, this is the worst time for Liverpool to be going through a rough patch. And it's very, I think, you kind of need to be overlooking other factors to just put this all on Florian Wirtz being like, no, individual, you need to be doing better right this very moment.
Is this not what I've been telling you this whole time, Lee?
Sure, I said my piece, he said his piece, fair.
Again, I think it's both. I think you're both correct.
I've said this a million times. You need to look beyond Florian Wirtz I don't know why Florian Wirtz is getting so much hate right now. Yes, he doesn't have the goals.
Because he's done nothing to prove his...
Are we hating on Cunha? No, I don't see anyone hating on Cunha. He has zero goals and assists. Is that correct?
I mean, I've seen a little.
Is that correct? He has zero goals and assists.
Yeah, but he also didn't... He doesn't have the magnitude of Wirtz. Wirtz is literally...
He's playing in virtually the same role as Wirtz and is expected to have the same amount of impact.
Costs 100 million more.
But in terms of impact for the team, they're playing in the same position.
Yeah, context matters. Context always matters.
You know my take on price tags, Blake. You know how I feel
about
that.
Yeah, but that's you don't... That doesn't make sense.
Florian Wirtz has been all right in-game. And it's only been 10 games.
Yeah.
And his first 10 games in a new club, in a new country, he doesn't speak the language.
And if you are pleased with his 10 games so far, then I think you got the wrong
player.
Have
your fun making fun of him now.
Can't be pleased.
Because this is your only window.
I will. You're going to have fun making fun of Gyökeres right now. And I think he's also going to rebound. Well,
that's different.
Yeah, but exactly. You say it's different, but it's not.
It is, though, because Gyökeres is technically limited. And he's also...
Yeah, but
against Fulham. But he's also missing chances.
Shall we transition?
Let's transition.
But when the goals come, I can say the exact same thing. But because you think in your mind that one player is technically better, of course, but you think that he has more potential to be what you expect him to be, even though the goals and the stats have said Gyökeres has been better.
I've always told you Gyökeres will score his goals.
Yeah, and that's what he's supposed to do. So you can't just play your cards that Virts is going to be fine, but when I say my guy's going to be fine, you go, well, no, that, actually, that's different. No, that's going against everything you just said for your guy.
I can do that, though.
No, you can't.
I can.
Then you're just a hypocrite.
No, it's not being a hypocrite. It's actually looking at the games, and in-game, I think Gyökeres is very limited in this Arsenal system and how Arsenal operate. Yes, you guys are first. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter that we're first now.
I'm talking about the player.
I see.
I'm talking about the player. Yeah. You can have Kai Havertz up there and you would still be fucking first.
What Gyökeres is adding is different than what Kai Havertz would add, is different than what Mikel Merino is adding, and I'm happy with it.
Okay. So I didn't watch the game. So tell me what Gyökeres did well.
Gyökeres first half. I only watched the first half because I had work. Gyökeres first half wasn't great, but he had three decent chances. What he does do is get in behind and creates more space for the wingers, which is something that has been an issue for Arsenal, because when the wingers are not involved in the game, we essentially have no outlet for attack. But Saka had a fantastic game on the weekend because he was able to influence the game because Gyökeres took space. Gyökeres is holding up his man. Gyökeres is occupying space in the center. Mm-hmm. Do I want him to score more goals? Yes. Does he need to be better in front of a goal? Yes. Does his hold-up play need to improve? Maybe a little bit, but I've been fine with it.
You've been fine with it?
Yes, I have. Really? I think it's fine. Really? I watch this team every week. And this is what actually pisses me off, though, is that you can sit there and laugh at my player, but when you're so quick to defend a player who's done literally nothing all season, then it's an attack. But you are so quick.
Who's your career scored against this season? Leeds?
Leeds. Two against Leeds.
Yeah, how many goals did Virts score?
For but who else?
No, but answer the question. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm talking about contents. Well,
the difference, okay.
Because what Gyökeres is expected to do is doing it against Leeds.
If Gyökeres was on Liverpool, he'd be playing like garbage right now. It'd be horrendous. It'd be horrendous. And if Virts was playing for Arsenal right now, he'd be doing better than he is right now on Liverpool, because environments matter a lot. What's worrying about Gyökeres is the fact that he's maybe kind of struggling individually, which is fair. It's this first 10 games in the league, whatever. But the environment in Arsenal cannot be attributed as a factor into that, because of how good it is, you almost add more expectation for the individual to perform.
Sure.
Because of that environment of improvement. Like, you guys have, like City have, but Liverpool don't have at the moment.
Yeah.
That's why we give that little bit of leeway to Virts, but it's because, like, okay, if this was like a good Liverpool team, maybe this would be a different conversation.
Sure, if you're playing hypotheticals, maybe. But my point is, Arsenal fans are not worried about Gyökeres. You guys can laugh all you want. You guys can give the leeway to whoever the fuck you want. Arsenal fans are not worried about Gyökeres because you can see the vision. You can keep laughing. Let me finish, man. I watch this team. I know this team. Yeah. You guys don't know this team as well as I do. You guys think you know Liverpool and you think, no. I know this team. I see the vision. We have not had a striker with this type of play style in so long. One, it'll take time to get the ball to him. A lot of the discourse around him is that he doesn't get fed enough. Three chances a game, they weren't even clear cut. They really weren't. He's missed, I think, one sitter in three games ago. Other than that, he hasn't missed a clear cut sitter. He hasn't gotten enough chances.
He had a great chance against Fulham at 1-0 in the second half.
This is my thing.
And he missed it.
The past two episodes now, Blake, you've been saying exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You've been saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But then you've also followed that up with, he needs to score against Fulham.
Yeah.
He needs to score against
Fulham. He does.
He needs to score in his
and
next
I'm,
game.
And I'm agreeing.
He didn't score against Fulham.
He needs to score more.
He didn't score against Fulham.
Yeah, but we're still top.
You said if he doesn't score against Fulham, we have a problem.
He needs to score more. He's our striker.
If you want
to
do
that. But we don't have a problem if we're top of the league.
Right.
We don't. We really don't. Right. If we're top of the league, we keep winning. He could score zero goals from now until fucking April. If we win the league, I don't fucking care. His legacy at the club, his tarnished, his, you know, goal scoring ability will be questioned. But if we win the league, who the fuck cares? You guys are acting like this is DEFCON. It's not.
We're
top of the league and we're still getting hated on. The agenda keeps piling on.
I just think there's better strikers.
Of course. I think there's better midfielders than Virts.
And I think there's better strikers even in the Premier League.
Should we do every striker better than Gyökeres?
Let's do it.
Every striker better than Gyökeres.
Can I just say something? This is why I say Arsenal agenda. Because we're top of the league and you still find something. Anyway,
No, because we do this.
Yeah, because you guys
You've done it.
No.
You've done it. All right, but when it's done to me, I don't cry out United Agenda, even though it exists. All right, this is the banter that we have on the pod.
I just want
to
say.
And you are playing victim.
Yes.
You are victim.
No. I just want to say one thing before you guys can actually do it.
Go
I think Antoine is an absolute hypocrite. Like, I'm genuinely questioning. No, genuinely. I've already said I'm not going to say it again. Okay. I'm genuinely questioning your morals right now. Because Because if you think, not like your footballing morals.
Right, okay.
Because if you think that what you said about Wirtz doesn't apply to the same guy on the other side of England, I just don't understand
it's
how you don't think it's
different contexts. It's different contexts.
But they're both not performing. Are they both not performing to what they should be?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's different contexts.
Because you think one's worse.
Because I know one's worse.
No, but you think. You don't know.
No, but you have the same thing. You're having the same. You're being the same hypocrite, but reversed.
Not really.
Yes, you are.
I'm saying he needs to score more. I know Wirtz is still good, but he needs to score more.
Gyökeres
is still good.
But what Liverpool fans can bring up, Wirtz does this and this and enables this. And
yeah,
the team,
exactly.
Even though he's not getting the GA at the moment.
Yeah.
Even though he may be underperforming individually. And then you're shitting on that. But when you're doing the same thing with Gyökeres and he's giving you counterpoints, you're going agenda.
You're putting
agenda.
Words in my mouth. My only thing is that he's not scoring or assisting. I never said he doesn't do other things well. He's not scoring or assisting. He's paid to do that as well. And you guys are just like, you know what? Fine. It's okay. He's like making a backwards heel pass. Holy fuck. He's paid to do good things too. Do your striker thing.
Anyways, welcome back, guys. This is Every Striker Better Than.
Gyökeres
edition.
Okay. First, I'm gonna just start us off. Are we staying? We can go outside the prem.
Oh yes.
I feel like we can get like 10 easily in the prem, but like if you want to
10, I was thinking 12, 13.
Yeah.
Sure. First off is Pavlidis of Benfica. Just want to get that one out the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Erling Haaland, obviously.
Yeah.
Mateta.
Mateta would be a better striker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Personally, by the way.
Hugo Ekitike. Alexander Isak, clear. Obviously.
Isak clears. Yeah.
Nick Voltimata.
Voltimata has had a great start to the season. I would put him forward as well.
Yeah. You have to say that.
João Pedro?
João Pedro, for sure.
Oh, my God.
For sure. Yeah, Benjamin Sesko?
Benjamin Sesko, yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll give that to you.
So, okay.
There's proactiveness in his game that I don't really see in Gyökeres.
Yeah,
Danny Welbeck this season, I would argue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? We've forgotten about Ollie Watkins.
We have.
Yeah.
And don't let a rough patch of games. Don't let a rough patch of games dictate that.
I'll have you know.
Okay.
He's got one. That's only one less than Victor Gyökeres.
Now, am I crazy for saying Wilson Isidore?
No, you're not crazy. Am I crazy for saying... Oh, take your pick of the lot. Like a William Asula.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Is Strand Larsson in that same conversation?
Strand Larsson is in that conversation. Oh my God. Igor Tiago.
Great touch this season. Goal against Manchester United. I've never seen a finish from Gyökeres like that.
Lee's Arsenal like the one goals, against by United. The way, this year.
Jared Bowen.
Anyway.
Jared Bowen. Cannot
Jared
forget.
Bowen.
Lee's Arsenal.
The repositioning of him.
Ellie Kruppi.
Ellie Kruppi, from what he's shown in these last two games. It goes much beyond the two goals he scored.
Eddie Nketiah.
We can give it Nketiah.
I mean, yeah.
Let's go La Liga.
We can go La Liga.
Let's,
Kylian Mbappe. What a great listen for the viewers, by the way.
Robert Lewandowski.
Even though he's getting old, I think he'd do a much better job than Gyökeres is doing right now.
I mean, weren't Barca going to sign him to replace Lewandowski?
Yeah, that would have been a bad signing for sure. Yeah. Julian Alvarez, give me that.
Julian Alvarez, easily.
Easily.
And give me Sorloth, too.
Give me Sorloth as well. I'll take Sorloth.
Any suggestions here, Blake?
Blake?
If we go to the Bundesliga, you have Kane, you have Gerassi.
You have Gerassi as well.
Gerassi.
I mean, like, you guys are just putting names that are wrong, so it doesn't really matter to me.
No, it's not
wrong. And then we're also top of the league. He has the most goals on Arsenal this year.
Am I crazy for saying Rasmus Højlund?
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Of course not.
Like, legitimately not.
Yeah, of course not.
Definitely not. Jonathan David.
Jonathan David. Yep.
Absolutely.
We know about Jonathan David. Angéon Bonny for Inter.
Sure.
Thank you.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who that is?
Marcus Thuram, though.
Marcus Thuram, yes. Lautaro Martinez.
Lautaro
of
Martinez,
course.
Yes.
And let's wrap it up in Liga. We'll go Dembele.
Gonzalo Ramos.
Let's go. Oh, yeah. We can go Gonzalo Ramos.
We can go Mason Greenwood.
That's where I'm going to draw the line.
Oh, Fair enough.
Hey, man, if you told me 5 years ago that I'd be in this spot, having to listen to you guys chat.
It's good
shit.
Banter, but it's good banter.
Can I finish my
Omar
thought?
Omar Marmoush, we forgot too.
Can I finish my thought? If you told
Mateus
me five,
Cunha too.
Okay.
No, go on. Though.
No, that's fine.
No, no, finish your thought. Nah, finish your thought. Don't do this.
No, I was gonna say if you told me 5 years ago that I'd be in this spot, I was actually gonna say something nice. But I'm in this spot, listening to you guys chat absolute shit while my team's first, while your team's on it first because you guys are fucking embarrassing, while your team's on it first because you guys have been embarrassing for 4 years, 5 years in a row.
You're gonna see something nice, eh? This is so nice.
You know what? I'll take it. If you guys want to chat shit about my boy who's gonna like, score 15 much? Premier League goals this year, that's fine.
How
me.
Much have you chatted shit about?
Absolutely.
It's
not,
just
not your
reciprocal.
Absolutely. And I'm giving it back right now.
It's just the banter of the pod.
That's why I'm giving it back.
You're just not taking it very well.
How am I supposed to sit here and take it when I'm first? I'm not gonna let you guys chat shit when my team is the best team in the Premier League as of
if
8 games in.
If you didn't really care, you'd probably laugh it off.
Well,
it seems like it actually kind of bothers you that we're
it bothers me that we haven't won a league yet, but we're in first and we're ready to do so. And you guys have spent 20 minutes talking about Jokeres.
20
and
minutes,
And we haven't even talked about the rest of the team who's been fantastic. Ah, not the rest of the team. Saka has been fantastic. The defense has been fantastic. The defense might actually break Chelsea's record. They're on pace to right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's 7, right?
What?
What's the record?
15.
Oh, it's 15?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was much
lower. No, it's 15.
Okay, yes.
So they've conceded 3 goals in 8 matches. Mm-hmm. It's... What Arteta's done with this?
It's just very difficult to beat Arsenal.
What Arteta's done with this? I think that's genuinely
for sure.
It should be talked about for ages.
I think that's what's going to win them the league. It's so hard to play against Arsenal and to break them down. Liverpool is a prime example of that. Yes, they beat them, but they had to rely on a moment of brilliance. And against the smaller teams in the Premier League, where there's not that guy that can give you that moment of brilliance, they're going to struggle. And Arsenal will prevail most of the time.
Yeah. The defense is nasty. Them against Palace is going to be a very interesting game. Very excited to see that. First, third. Let's not forget. No. Second best record in the league, Mateta.
First, third.
Palace is eighth.
They're eighth?
Bournemouth is third.
I was thinking that. Yeah. Well, they just tied to third, you could say.
But yeah, man, if this defense just keeps doing what they're doing,
this is an all-time defense.
Kind of my point, though. You don't need Jokeres to score 15 or 30 goals. Sorry, you don't need Saka to be, you know, Lamine Yamal level production. You just need them to be as good as they can. You just score one goal, your defense is gonna give you a clean sheet.
But that's
like, back to the old Arsenal.
That's like backing Haram Ball, though.
No, it's not.
A little bit,
but it's
if
not.
you're telling me,
but here's my thing. It's a part of the game.
Of course. But if you're telling me, I mean, I'm sure you are, but if you're fine with 1-0 wins until the end, they'll always be an asterisk and people won't.
No, there won't.
I think, for the people that actually have watched the league, there will always be an asterisk that Arsenal didn't have a convincing season attacking wise.
Bro, who fucking cares? If we don't concede another goal for the rest of it, see, that's the agenda part. What are you talking about? It'll be our first title ever, and you're already putting a potential asterisk on it. What the fuck?
I'm just saying, if you're okay with 1-0 wins, then people will remember that.
History
won't remember it, and the people born in 2030 and onwards.
The haters will remember it, but if this defense keeps doing what they're doing, I'm saying you don't have to win 3-5 or 7-2.
That's a well-known fact.
Like, yeah, that's my point, is that they're so good. You only need one goal.
Yes.
And that shouldn't be criticized. Also, their set pieces should not be criticized either. That's another reason why they're so good. They have things that other teams simply cannot do.
Does it bother you a little
bit
that you guys are Corner FC?
No.
Labeled Corner FC?
No. For enjoyment purposes, I would like a goal or two that are not from a set piece, but like...
So enjoyment does play into it. Because I remember when Arsenal was having a little rough patch against Bilbao, and then was it Bilbao chain on to Liverpool? Was that the run of fixtures?
I don't know.
Or Liverpool first and then Bilbao. I remember you saying that you were bored of watching this team.
Yeah, 1-0s are not always the most exciting, but they're fun when you're winning.
Okay.
Simply put.
And who was it that you guys were losing against and you were like crashing out and then you're like, oh, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, I was totally
wrong. Newcastle?
I was totally wrong, yeah. I was absolutely wrong. This team, I thought they didn't have the fight in them and they literally slapped me in the face,
put
their dick out and put me wrong.
Whoa.
You can't be a hypocrite when you literally just say you were wrong. That's
no,
like
but
defeats the purpose.
But in the time that you were down against Newcastle, you were saying exactly what I'm telling you.
No, no, no. But
and then you're like, oh, it's fine.
After that match, though, I literally told all of you that I was completely wrong, and I admitted that I was stupid for saying those things, which is not what a hypocrite does. A hypocrite goes against their word without realizing that they've just done it.
Got you.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. All right, we can move on.
You need an English lesson, though. We can, you know, I can help you with that. Yeah.
Who's your title favorite, Antoine?
It's Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal should be the favorites. I think the bookies have Arsenal,
too.
Who
do you think?
I still think City will win the league. Mm. And that's not because I don't like Arsenal. I like Arsenal, contrary to beliefs
of
the men on my left.
I really don't think you do.
But, no, I tell you this all the time. I want your success. I want Arsenal to do good. Premier League or Champions League, I want to see you happy like this. And I said this when I won the Champions League last year. Or when my team won the Champions League last year. I want to see you happy like this. But I'm not happy watching this team. Like, it fucking sucks. I want to rip my eyeballs out when I watch Arsenal. I'm sorry.
That's fair. Fair. I mean, don't watch tomorrow then. Fuck. It's Arsenal Athletic. Shit. It's going to be...
Oh, my God.
It's going to be something.
Just because of football.
Yucarez like score. Book it. It's going to work one of these times. But we can talk about City.
Let's tie in City here.
They do look scary, but... It's always the same way. They look scary because why? Because who's scoring? Because Haaland is a machine. And when Haaland isn't a machine, they probably won't look as good. But he's a machine right now, and they're looking great.
I think they're one thing that surprised me, or didn't surprise me, but they actually kept a clean sheet in this game against an Everton team that have been doing very good, offensively. You don't really see that. You haven't really seen that lately. The City have always kind of... drowned under pressure against teams that push, against teams that play ball against them.
Yeah.
And they didn't against Everton this time.
Yeah.
They're improving, man.
Their defense has been sneaky good. Like, they only have 6 goals conceded this year. And a lot of that was from the... What match was it when they, like, gave up, like, 2 or 3?
They lost 2-0 to Spurs. And yeah, they lost to Brighton.
Yeah, the 2-0 to Spurs. So, like, there's kind of been... a good little defensive run of form for them, and it's
and on the other side of the pitch, Haaland is going insane.
Yeah,
he has scored in every single game this season, but that Tottenham game, he scored 6 in a row. He's scored 19 goals in his last, or he scored in 19 of his last 20 games.
He's on 23 goals this season, I think.
So stupid,
it's nuts. It's nuts.
Oh my God, it's in crazy. Like 11 games or something.
So stupid.
That's just wow. That's mental. He's just unfair. He's a machine.
And he has an FPL demon.
I also like, this is kind of nitpicky, but I also really like his attitude this season. Mm. Now that this is, his third year in City? Mm. Now that it's his third year in City, he's kind of known around the team as like one of the quote-unquote...
Fourth year.
Are you kidding me?
His first year was when we were in first year at uni.
Oh my God.
I know, we're unk.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now he's kind of respected, I think, in the locker room as a quote-unquote veteran. And so with that comes a lot of leadership. Yeah. And I see his body language when he's not on the ball and when cities are kind of struggling offensively. Mm. He's telling these players, like, he's visibly upset. Like, at halftime against Everton, he wasn't happy. Mm. He was visibly upset that he wasn't getting the ball fed to him.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that from a striker, because that's the killer instinct that you need from a striker like Haaland. That relies on scoring goals to have a good season.
To be fair, I was mad too. Because
you dribble
guys. The thing is, Haaland, that pisses me off so much. He's such a likable guy. Yeah. He's low-key a likable
off
dude.
The pitch. When he's a bit of a dick on the pitch, but off the pitch,
You just have the Gabriel moment stuck in your head.
Of course. But if that was your team,
it's
you'd feel the exact...
It's been over a year.
The Gabriel moment? I thought it was Lewis Kelly.
It was both.
Both of those.
But if it was your team, you feel the exact same way.
He's done that against my team as well. But he's still a likable guy.
Off the pitch.
Off the pitch, yeah. His Snapchat stories are funny.
On the pitch, no. So he's not likable on the pitch.
Because he scores against everybody.
Yeah, and he's a bit of a dick on the pitch, in my opinion. You can
disagree. But that's good.
What you want. Yeah, no, 100%. I just mean from a rival fan on the pitch, I don't like him. I don't think but off the pitch, he's a good guy.
For sure. I thought Savinho was very good against Everton.
I thought so, too. I thought the both wingers were actually solid.
Yeah. It's just, it's the same thing with the wingers.
What's your verdict on Reinders?
Reinders, obviously a great start to the season against Wolves. Kind of dipped in form. I don't know if the expectations were too high on Reinders. I still think he's a very good player and he fits the City system very well. I think he's exactly what City needed.
That's fair.
But I don't know. what people are expecting out of him, if it's goals and assists or... But I think he's been fine.
I think he's been fine too. I think he's been getting a lot of hate from the people that mainly just own him in FPL.
Yeah, I think that actually plays 100%. A big role.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, I think a lot of people value players based on how good they do in FPL.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because Reinders is highly owned in FPL and he's not producing the attacking returns that you want him to produce, people think he's a bad player.
Especially because of how he started.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's 5.5 mil, lads. Yeah. Calm down.
I do believe though that if City continue this run of form, Foden will have to play a big part in it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, with the Rodri injury back in, when is he back? Do we know?
I'll check for you.
Not sure. But he's kind of...
It's weird,
he's
right?
He's kind of week to week.
Like this whole Rodri thing is really up in the air right now. And I know he's not the attacking-minded guy of that team.
It says unknown.
Okay. But someone has to be, right? Yeah, and if Doku is not finishing his chances because it's not really a strong suit, Savinho still struggles with that too, Foden has to find a form where, you know, maybe he's pushing for that England call-up because right now, Foden's not on the England team if the World Cup squad was getting announced today. He's not.
Yep.
Was that crazy to say?
No, it's not. Yeah.
So, like, I think if he wants to, for himself, get to the World Cup, which I'm sure he does, but also for the City team to be what they can be, Foden has to be good. And I thought he was all right.
Yeah, I thought he was good, too.
Yeah.
I'm never going to give up on Foden, by the way. He can be in the slump of slumps.
That's fair.
I'm always going
to
be
a good player. He's a good player.
He just pops up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Neil Gonzalez was in this game, actually.
He was.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Man City's next games, they play Villarreal in the Champions League, and then they have Villa away that, and then they have Bournemouth at home, and then they have Liverpool and Newcastle.
Oh, City-Liverpool, that's so good, bro.
I know. So tough fixtures now. This is kind of the test to see if they're the real deal or if this is just a good run of form against not the craziest opponents.
And you know what? You were right. When I was complaining about the fixtures at the start of the year, it really does all even out. It's true.
It factually does. Yeah.
It's true. No, I know, but it's
just... Would you believe that everybody plays the same opponent?
No, but you know what I mean? It's just hard to think about it when it's the beginning of the season.
Oh, man.
But now City...
You know, if you really think about it, City have to play Liverpool when Liverpool are doing shit. You have to play Liverpool when they're winning.
Yeah, games. See, there you go. That's
I think the schedule makers knew that in
that's
advance.
That's 100% what
and
we should be talking about.
There's an Arsenal agenda in there.
100%. That's 100% what we should be talking about.
Jesus Christ.
That's funny as fuck.
All right. Let's move to PSG for a quick minute here. Or should we go to staying on the Prem and talk about the Marinakis and situation?
It's up to you. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Ange.
That's
maybe the first ever manager to get sacked during a Premier League game.
I think this is the most embarrassing thing to happen to a manager.
Ever.
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 Ever, but it's also not his fault.
But it's also
let me rephrase that. I think that's the most embarrassing thing to happen to a club.
I think that's a better way to put it.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is the most embarrassing thing to happen to an owner too. That's completely
multi-level.
That's completely self-inflicted, by the way.
Yeah,
100%.
Completely self-inflicted. So
I saw maybe this was a really like parody account. But I saw something where, like,
so deep.
It's definitely a parody account.
This is Blake's Doom Scroll Chronicles.
But it was like,
here we go.
Breaking. Marinakis is considering taking the head coach job himself. I was like, you know what? It wouldn't put it past it because this guy is completely lunatic, man.
He's lost it. Marinakis has lost the plot.
Man.
He has lost the plot.
You know what this all starts with?
What?
Edu.
It all starts with Edu.
Edu and Nuno get into a beef. There's no, like, it is completely unrepairable. One of them has to go. Nuno leaves, even though none of the players wanted him to go.
Yeah.
And then they replace the defensively minded, you know, structured Nuno Espirito Santo with Ange. Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That goes as well as you could fucking imagine. And now you're going to Sean Dyche. It's just like, goodness.
When you
obviously it starts with Edu, but like Edu is making the decision on who to bring in next as manager as well. Obviously his input is going to matter as well. He's like their top like football recruitment guy.
I think Edu was a really big problem at Arsenal. Like really, it kind of got overshadowed with Kroenke coming in. But you can see it now. It's weird. There's so many questionable decisions. And there was a lot at Arsenal, too. The recruitment strategy was very, very strange when Arsenal were starting to get good. And now at Nottingham Forest, like, how do you go from Nuno to Ange, and then you go to, like, the most obvious relegation save myself manager you could get. I don't get it. It makes no sense. There's no strategy. It's just who's available. Okay, sure. And maybe steady the ship until he gets fired in another year. Like, I have no idea what they're doing.
It's so...
Imagine being a Nottingham Forest fan right now.
Oh, you'd kill yourself.
Oh, yeah. You're in the worst mental space ever.
Like, there might be Edu out banners tomorrow. Genuinely.
Is that what it is? Is it really Edu out? I think there's going to be Marinakis out.
Not banners too. But I think definitely Marinakis.
Yeah.
But I think the Edu thing is a really underrated cause that... honestly could have been seen if you looked at what he did with Arsenal.
Yeah. It doesn't help how high of a profile Marinakis is himself, and he doesn't help this whole situation with just how blunt he's being with his actions.
100%.
Like, as an owner, you are causing more pain to yourself leaving in the second half.
Agreed.
Having that shot of the empty owner's chair and creating even more of a story than there was before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If Ange gets sacked after this game, you know, owner pans to the owner after the game. He looks a little bit sad. A couple hours later, it comes out that Ange has been sacked. Literally, Ange, he gets told by an intermediary straight down in the tunnel seconds after the game ends. And then he immediately went to the dressing room and said to the rest of the team, good luck with your season. And then fucked off.
I feel kind of bad for
him. I feel
that's
bad for him.
Fucked.
I do feel bad for him.
That's fucked. Like, just...
Well, and does he not deserve a little more credit for what he did last year? I fucking hate Tottenham. But that team winning a European trophy, their first major trophy in how long?
I also think what made them so... what made Nottingham Forest so bad under Ange is the complete shift in the way that they play their football from what Nuno is doing to what Ange is doing. That's what killed them.
Yeah.
These players don't know how to play... the way that Ange plays football.
Yeah.
Yep. They're not used to it, at least. Obviously, there's going to be bad results. Obviously, they're not going to click well off the start.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just embarrassing.
It is.
Yeah. And now Sean Dyche going there, like, I can't imagine he'll do that well either. Steady the ship? Sure. Save them from relegation form? Sure. But can you tell me this man is going to be a Nottingham Forest in 18 months' time?
No, man.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to PSG.
Hey. Let's do it.
We talked about it a little bit before, but, you know, Doué giveaway to his brother.
Yeah.
Chevalier. It's just
brotherly love.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Are you nervous at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
there's not much else to say.
No. Actually, yes, a little bit.
Oh,
for the league, I think Marseille are a real team this year. I think they have a lot of good players. They have a lot of ballers. They have a lot of young players, too, that are just now breaking through. Yeah, Angel Gomez is a Marseille player, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think... what's his name? I completely forgot his name. Roberto Zerbi, there you go. Just completely set my mind. I think he has... scum. I think he has them playing... very good football right now, and it's scary. It's a little scary. The way that I think we'll beat them in the league, and I think we'll win the league, is going to be against the smaller teams, because Marseille are most notably known for dropping points against those teams. That's how we're going to win the league. I think it's going to be close this year, and a lot of people speculating that it won't be close and that PSG will, you know, take off are wrong.
Yeah, I'm so wrong to assume that. Yeah,
no, you are, because you don't know Ligue 1 and you don't know Marseille's development over these last 2 years.
I know PSG's development.
Yeah. But you also know, you also should know that.
Bro, I think you're making excuses for PSG not being first in Ligue 1 at any point in the season, and PSG not being first in Ligue 1 at any point in the season is fucking crazy. I don't care how good Marseille's development has been. I don't care if De Zerbi and Greenwood and co are playing some nice liquid football. I don't care.
Some hard-hitting football.
You just won a quadruple. What are we doing? What are we doing here? I know you've had injuries. I know such and such. Your second team is good enough to win Liga.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Is it, though?
Yes.
I don't know if it is.
Yes, you know what? Even though me and Antoine just fought, I'm low-key on his side. You're going to get players back and win the league.
Like,
yes.
Look at the players that were fielded against Strasbourg. Look at the players that are fielded against teams prior to that. It's not... I'm sorry, you're going to laugh at this, but it's not Ligue 1 winning worthy.
I mean,
you put Warren Zaïre-Emery at right back. You put Lucas Hernandez at left back, who's way past it. Seni Mayulu was playing right back against Strasbourg. We know about Beraldo. We know about how shit he is. I'm sorry. It's just no. You can laugh all you want, but if you go player for player, the quality of player that Marseille's first team has, is much better than the quality of players that PSG's second team have.
Okay.
And that's a fact.
All right. I'm not surprised. Am I over-exaggerating there? Sure. But it's not going to be your second team in Liga, is it?
It won't be. And that's why we'll win the league. And if we don't win the league, there's a fucking problem.
And a lot of time, it's been your first team in Liga as well.
Has it been, though?
It's been it's been a mix of the two.
It's been a mix of the two. I'm just saying, the team, the 11, our 11, if you seriously think that we won't win the league, you are delusional. I'm not making excuses. You just have to look at the hardware.
That's exactly what I'm thinking too. But you're here saying like, oh, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be tough this year. It's like City the past couple of years when they're winning four in a row. They're like, oh, United could be a title challenger this year. No, they're not. You're going to walk the league.
No one said that.
No one was saying that. Just as an example, bro. Just years back, like City were like minus 500 to win the league every year. And they're like, you know what? You know what? It's going to be tough. You know, no one's ever done that. You know, it's going to be a real challenge. No, it's not. You're going to waltz the league. That's it. And if you don't waltz the league, it's going to be a massive disgrace. And these kind of like points of like, oh, you know, this team looks really good. Marseille look really good. You're parachuting. You're coming down from your point to kind of make it not seem as bad if you do underperform or when you're underperforming right now.
Okay, so let me bring this up to you.
On a different level, it's kind of the same thing as me saying that we're going to lose to Brighton next week.
I think what you're saying is much worse.
Worse.
Because you're coping. Okay.
I think you're coping too.
The last three games that PSG have dropped points in the league are against Marseille, Lille, and let me just pull this up.
Strasbourg.
And Strasbourg, yes. Who, by the way, are three of the better teams in Ligue 1. Fair. I just want to say before I go blaming the PSG players, seriously, like, congratulations to Strasbourg because they played football. Like, they... Against PSG in Ligue 1, I'm so used to watching low blocks and teams sitting back. I watch it every week. Strasbourg, when they went up 3-1, they were still playing football, and I genuinely love that. Now, back to my point. Against Lille, you're telling me a midfield three of Kang and Lee, Njantu and Mayulu can hold up? Okay, against Marseille, you're telling me Hakimi at right wing with Marquinhos at right back and Zaïre-Emery in can beat a good Marseille team, because let's say how it is.
Yes, we can.
You're telling me against Strasbourg that, again, a midfield three of Warren Zaïre-Emery,
Kang and Lee and Doué
can, like, I'm sorry.
Yes, they can.
You don't watch the games.
You're right.
You don't watch Ligue 1.
You're right.
You don't know
how good. You're right.
You can't tell me about Barco. You can't tell me about Panicelli. Exactly. So why are you judging our second team against a good Ligue 1 team that know how to play football, that have stars? They're blue coat. They have good players in that team.
I know. So I'm not watching them week in, week out, but I know.
Why are you surprised that our second string team...
Why am I surprised that you're not leading Ligue 1 right now?
That's because you're completely twisting the narrative right now. G. Why are we not winning Ligue 1 right now? Because we dropped points against three of the better teams. What are you doing right now? It is fun. Is that me right now?
No, it's just fun. Like, this is fun. I like this. I'm usually the one yelling. But
why are you surprised that we're dropping points... Why are you surprised that an injured team is dropping points against three of the better teams in Ligue 1? And that's the reason why we're not first right now.
But even if you're injured, the level of quality you have over these teams, where it's even if half your freaking first team is injured, should still be handling these guys easily.
Okay.
Yes, I know. Bluco is good. Don't underestimate Valentin Barco, guys. You just won the fucking quadruple. What are we doing here? Okay. What are we doing? Come on.
Brother, you...
And you just beat... You're sorry, just coming off Julian, a win against Barcelona too. With that same team.
I would take
you're
more...
You're acting like these guys are scrubs. They're not scrubs.
I would take you more serious if you actually watched Ligue 1. You can't chat to me if you don't know what you're talking about.
Of course. Of course. But I also can't take your point seriously because I know your biases. I know you're going to hold out for PSG, and I know you're going to be coping because you're a PSG fan. I expect that of you. I'm telling you, not that I've seen it much, but I guarantee you there would be PSG fans and there would be Liga fans with the same opinion that when PSG are not leading Ligue 1 at any point in the season, no matter what the context is, it is a flat-out disgrace. I don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's a crazy thing to say. Are you going to be fine in 6 months? Probably. But right now, here and now, I'm not saying the sky is falling. I'm just saying.
You're just taking this opportunity to clown me because
I'm not even trying to clown you, bro.
That's the only time in the season where you'll be able to do this.
I'm not trying to clown you.
In the league. You can do this in Champions League when we lose.
I'm just trying to get you to look past the cope and just be like, you know what? We need to be doing better right now.
I never said we shouldn't be doing better right now. I absolutely think we should be doing better right now with our second string team. I think Gonzalo Ramos is abhorrent when he starts. He's
better than
Gyökeres.
No, no, not better than Gyökeres. Yes. I was fully kidding. However, Mayulu at striker, I would prefer over Gyökeres.
Fuck off. Anyway.
No, but seriously, like I don't know what's going on with Ramos. When he starts games, he's shit. When he comes off the bench, he's the best super sub I've ever seen in my life. I don't know. Lucas Hernandez, way past it. And look, I know you're clowning Chevalier.
I'm not trying to clown.
No, Chevalier. Let's talk about Chevalier really quick.
Highs and lows.
I'm kind of on the same page as I am with Florian Wirtz on Lucas Chevalier. You need to look beyond Lucas Chevalier, in my opinion.
Lucas Chevalier is 0010 as well.
What?
No goals, no assists from
Like, are we serious right now? All right. No, but specifically in the second goal, which is where he's getting clowned the most. You have to look beyond that. What happens before the goal goes in? You have Gonzalo Ramos losing the ball after a first touch goes all the way back to our fucking box. Then you have Désiré Doué completely missing a pass and sending it to his brother. Then you have Warren Zaïre-Emery getting absolutely cooked by Valentin Barco. And then you have Lucas Hernandez and Désiré Doué not knowing what the hell is going on behind their backs, not checking the run that Moreira is going for and letting a free ball in the back. Of course, it's a great pass from Barco. No doubt about it. And then finally, if you want to talk Beraldo on top of that, Beraldo should be in a better position and should know what's happening in that situation. So you need to blame every single player before Chevalier for that goal. And then you can blame Chevalier.
Absolutely.
I think Chevalier is a good keeper and he will be good in due time. I was clowning Donnarumma for years before he started playing well. And then I ended up sad that he left the club. I don't want to make the same mistake for Chevalier.
Fair.
I feel like that's a very noble way to look at things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Blake.
I'm not trying to clown you.
Bro. No, you are.
No.
No, I'm on to you.
No. Just clown him. No. That's good.
No, I'm not trying to clown him. I'm not trying to clown you. I'm just bringing up the points that I see.
You said the same thing last year, by the way, when Monaco was leading. And
we all did. At the time, it's not a good look for PSG to not be leading the league.
I think they'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine, too.
Mm-hmm. And if you think they're scared right now and that they're threatened,
no, they weren't last year. Look what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to clown you. I'm not trying to.
The only thing that differs from this year, the only thing that differs from this year and last year is that Marseille can actually chain a lot of wins in a row.
Okay. We got to wrap up here in like 10-ish minutes here, but I want to talk a little bit. One, about Nico Paz. Two, about Barca and Real Madrid. I'll start off.
I will tune in. I will.
How many Clasicos did you watch last year of the four?
Four, I hope.
Four, right?
Three?
It's definitely more than one and less than three. Less than two. So
you watch one and a half.
One and a half.
Maybe less than one and a half.
Okay.
One in extra time.
Yeah. Both Barca and Real Madrid needed late winners from Mbappe and Araujo themselves. And you know what? They're not looking their absolute best going to the Clásico, but I'm sure it'll be a fun time.
I think, yeah, I would agree with you. Where do you want to go first? Barca against Girona? Or
quick on Real Madrid, 1-0.
I think this is the Vinicius I love.
The diving one?
Yes. Yeah. This is the Vinicius I love.
You saw that. Yeah,
this last game, couple of weeks, he's been kind of back to his best.
If we're honest, this game against Getafe was never going to be a game of football.
It was always going to be tough.
It was always going to be a game of mentality.
Yeah.
And the only thing that Getafe were trying to do were to destabilize Real Madrid. That's the only thing they were trying to do, destabilize Real Madrid. And as soon... And they were doing very good at it, let's be honest. They were doing a good job at it because they held them to 0-0. As soon as Vinicius comes on, he reminds everybody that he's the best in the world at destabilizing opponents, and he just completely fucks with Getafe, the Getafe players. He's the one that gets the Nyom sent off.
Yep.
Nyom.
He's the one that gets Nyom sent off. Do it again.
Nyom.
And you can say it, you can argue whether it was a red card or not. All this, I don't think it was. But the fact of the matter is that he was there to destabilize the opponents. He was there to bring order back to Real Madrid's team when order needed to be restored. Mm-hmm. And that's what ultimately led to Mbappe scoring the winner. I think Vinicius was man of the match in this game, even though he didn't bring much in terms of footballing.
Interesting.
In terms of footballing ability.
My boy started. Eh?
Who's your boy?
You know my boy.
I don't know your boy.
Rodrigo?
Yeah.
He did.
He's my boy now, guys.
I mean, yeah. So Real Madrid are now first in the league, 2 points ahead of Barcelona. If they lose El Clasico, they'd be second. I think this league, more than any league, is going to be played win and loss against the small teams. I think Real Madrid can win this league strictly off winning against the small teams. Yes, 100%.
God damn. I've said Haaland scored in 19 of his last 20 games. Mbappe scored in 17 of his last 20 games.
Girl, I'm so here.
There's only been one game this entire season, all competitions, that Kylian Mbappe has not scored in.
Guys, I'm so here for the Mbappe Ballon d'Or season, bro. So here for it.
You're here for it?
As well.
Absolutely, like bro.
Thank you.
So here for it.
Thank you.
I've always liked
Mbappe. I'm so here for it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not win the Champions League because I want us to do that. But like, you know, they can win.
You guys
can win the World Cup next year.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to qualify first.
Or this year, sorry.
We got to qualify first.
So would that would count for Ballon d'Or?
Yes, 100%. Right? Okay. 100%. That's
like not the year because it's still count. Yeah, still season. Okay,
it's gonna count the most.
Okay, yeah.
And what do you think of Barcelona's performance?
Kind of
here and there. Pedri had a great goal. Almost gave away.
I think if I'm a Real Madrid fan, I'm upset that Barcelona didn't drop points against Girona. Because Girona actually brought it to them, and Girona actually played football.
Yeah.
Real Madrid have to go for this one. Are they home or away?
Home.
Real Madrid are home?
Yep.
They in my opinion, this is a must-win game for them. Because everything that happened last year with the Clásicos, it was a fucking whitewash. Mm-hmm. It wasn't close. Like, they need to get their lick back. They have to.
You want
to
know my take?
Mm.
I think it's not going to be close again. I think Barcelona absolutely wiped the floor with Real Madrid this season. I do. I think, because if you look at Real Madrid against the big teams this season, you have zero references. You have zero good games against the big teams this year. The last big team that Real Madrid beat was City last year. They've lost against Atletico. They've lost against PSG. They've lost against Barcelona 4 times. Against the biggest teams, Real Madrid have zero reference points. I think it's going to be very difficult for them. Very difficult for them.
Kind of got a point.
I mean, you could argue that Barcelona haven't looked good in the biggest games as well.
But Barcelona, if you think the Barcelona of the last few games is going to be the same Barcelona against Real Madrid, I think you're wrong. It's going to be a different Barcelona. It's going to be a different Lamine Yamal. It's going to be like, they'll bring it and they'll want to win because they want to keep the streak going. And obviously, La Liga's in play.
Do you not think that Real Madrid could exploit that high line?
They could, I think,
especially with Mbappe being on the form he is right now.
I mean, they could have exploited it last season with the same players.
True, but he's on fire.
He's on fire. He will score. He scored last.
And they're better
year
at giving chances to him. I feel
100%. Like there's real link up in this Real Madrid team. An identity is really shaping itself. Mm-hmm. I think it can be a high scoring game, but I think Barcelona is going to prevail.
Damn.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel good for Real Madrid's chances. Really? I don't know. This season feels different for them. You're absolutely right.
I just look at the big performances.
Yeah, the Atleti game, not good.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
And Barcelona is a team that play football. And what did I say about Real Madrid playing against teams that play good football? And Huijsen specifically? You're saying I was getting a little too ahead of myself? I'm excited to watch Huijsen against Barcelona. I will be there.
Well, a hate watch?
Perhaps a hate watch, okay. Just because I want to be right.
Okay.
Damn. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's kind of crazy.
Fair enough, dude. 11:15 local time on Sunday. I'm excited.
11:15?
On Sunday? That's beautiful.
Yeah. Why do they play at weird times?
That's beautiful, actually.
That's a great time.
No, but it's like 15, you know?
Oh, yeah. Hansi Flick won't be there.
Yeah, he won't be there.
Oh, yeah.
Got sent off.
So did you see what Mascherano was doing when he was sent off in the MLS? Mm. He was like calling down to his assistant coaches from like the press boxes, coaching his team while he was sent off. And then everyone was like,
managers do that. It's not the biggest deal when a manager gets sent off.
They were just, I don't know. Everyone
was Maresca not doing the same thing?
Probably.
Bro, but we need to talk about Chelsea's red cards though.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's an issue. God. It's so an issue, bro.
Like, was it Malagusto that got sent off as well? What the fuck are you doing? So unnecessary. So unnecessary.
Like, they must be getting a raise or something for getting red cards. Because every game, someone gets a red card.
Crazy. Anyways, I want to get to Nico Paz. But first, just a quick word on Bayern Munich and how good they look. Still, 2-1 against Dortmund. They were 2-0 up at some point. Bayern... If we were to make power rankings right now, they would undoubtedly be number one.
100%.
And Harry Kane would probably be on top of the player list. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're talking about Kylian Mbappe Ballon d'Or. We're talking about Haaland Ballon d'Or potential. I mean, I'm looking at Harry Kane.
For sure.
I'm looking at if Bayern are able to do a lot, and especially if England are able to do something in the World Cup, Harry Kane could win the Ballon d'Or.
Do we think that Miguel Olise was the best player to come out of that Crystal Palace team?
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt.
Undoubtedly.
But it wasn't always like that. Like, I'm even going to include Zaha in that. It was Zaha, and then it was Eze really turned it up, and then now what Elise is doing with Bayern, like...
Are you trying to Arsenal agenda us right now?
How?
No, I...
Okay, go on.
I think Elise is undoubtedly the best player to come out.
Fuck you,
undoubtedly.
Man.
Undoubtedly.
I was just saying...
Because I think to even question that.
Every opportunity. Because
I think to even question that, it's like insane.
No, but back then, give it a year and a half ago. Like 2 years. Yeah,
It was still Elise.
I don't know.
A year and a half ago, Eze was still at Crystal Palace.
No, that's my point. No, that I don't mean when they left. I mean in general, who's the best player that Crystal Palace had produced to go away?
Elise.
Yeah, but that was not always the case. I don't think.
Before Elise.
It could have been. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly my
point. Where did Zaha go after Palace?
Lyon?
He went... But
he was in Lyon for a little bit.
Yeah, but even at Palace. Like, I'm impact in general. But it's Elise. Anyway. Okay, whatever. You just wanted to undermine my point. That's fine.
No, you did. Because to be fair, you robbed Zaha. That's fair. But I thought you were going to go like, Eze, guys. He's really up there, too. Okay. You don't think that then?
Well, no, he's good. He hasn't played great, but he's good. But anyway,
okay.
This Bayern team is so scary. They're real contenders for the Champions League.
100%.
Like, and yeah, you can talk about Vincent Kompany and how people were unsure.
Do managers just not matter in football anymore?
I think that he really has instilled his tactics and his way of playing in this Bayern Munich team. It may have taken him a little bit. And last year was good, but not at the top level.
Not at all.
I think from the start of the Club World Cup onwards, there's nothing to say. And Bayern really have a true identity in how they play. And you have to give props to Kompany. Yeah. He's been clowned way too much for what he's done with Burnley, notably. I think that Burnley team was destined to be relegated, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you can't really blame him on that. But he's always had the tactics. Was it you that brought up the point of... No, I think it was Miles, actually, that brought this point up. It was that he, against like worse teams, like in the championship, he did so well with Burnley, and that could be part of why he's doing so well with Bayern, because they're all worse teams.
It's a really good point.
Maybe that plays into it, but I'm seeing Bayern as a top 3-4 favorite to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
Who's your top four?
PSG.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern third, Arsenal fourth.
Hmm. Fair. Fair enough.
Mm.
Okay.
Low word on Harry Kane or no?
Kind of like, what is there to say? He's just
what
gross.
Else is there to say that he's we haven't disgusting. Said already?
He's just gross. I mean? He's just gross and not as flashy as Haaland and plays in a worse league.
Not as flashy as Haaland? What do you mean? I think he's more flashy than Haaland.
No. In terms of like hold up play? Yeah.
No. I mean, in terms of
how tidy it is.
In terms
like of, physicality and the like fear that he puts into his opponents. Sure, it's Haaland.
That's what I mean. And like when you think of like a Kane goal, you can get like a
he's not as aggressive. Curler. He's yeah. more like
he's not as a, like oh my god, I'm
Kane is much tighter.
Him, Kane's a better overall.
His
player
technical ability is so much better. Yeah, there's absolutely. One moment in the game I rewatched the extended highlights. There's one moment in the game where he passes the ball to Luis Diaz. It's on Elisa's goal. It's the right before Elisa's goal. Oh my god, mm-hmm. It's a disgusting pass right into his path. It's a pass that you would expect from like a. I'm going crazy from like a Pirlo back in the day.
Oh, jeez.
Like it's crazy. And this guy's a striker. This guy's one of the best strikers of our generation. The best goal scorers of our generation. Yep. And he can do that on top of
underappreciated one too.
Arsenal fan, by the way. If only.
Right back to Arsenal.
That one I did on purpose.
Do you want to say a word about Nico Paz or are we kind of just running through Serie A?
Blake,
you want to lead us on Serie A?
Yeah, lead us on Serie A, Blake.
Hey, all I saw is that there was 4-0, and that's
Serie ass.
That's a great one from Hater Central.
Yeah, that's great a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Real quick on Nico Paz. I mean, what is there to say on Nico Paz that hasn't been said already? I am such an enjoyer of Nico.
He's having such a good
I think
season.
Nico Paz walks into a lot of teams in Europe and makes them significantly better.
Hmm.
This is a player that in one. Flick of a switch
yeah.
can flip the game on its head. We saw it against so many teams this season. I think he's been Serie A's best player so far this season.
Yes.
I don't think it's crazy to say that. It's him. It's been between him and Yildiz.
Yeah.
But Nico Paz is so damn good. He's such a good provider for his team, and he scores the goals on top of that. Has he been called up for Argentina? Yeah, I think he has already.
So, yeah.
He better have. Fuck. But no, it was just what a player, man. What a player.
Shout out Nico.
His dribbling is so tidy. His assist.
Yeah.
The cross was, oh my God.
Oh.
Beautiful.
So assists matter?
What do you mean? Assists matter?
You think they provide to an overall performance?
I know exactly where you're going with this. We're not linking this to Florian Wirtz. In a year's time, he's 150 million plus if he keeps going.
Nico?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
He's just going back, though, is he not?
What do you mean?
To Real Madrid eventually?
Real Madrid?
Yeah. Like, is there a buyback?
They might have a buyback clause, yeah.
Is it not, like, really cheap
it's
or
like
something?
It's like a 1 million buyback
That's
clause,
what I mean.
Something like that.
Insane.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in Serie A, Napoli lost to Torino.
Oh, no.
Milan beat Fiorentina 2-1.
Yeah. Leao
thanks
Brace?
Thanks to a Leao Brace. Shout out to Leao. And that means that Milan are now first in Serie A.
Thoughts, Blake? Good for them.
It's good that the league is actually kind of interesting in the top it's flight always, battle.
Over the last few years, it's always been kind
it's
of
just so
right?
defensive. It's such a defensive league.
You
that
have
doesn't
to,
mean there's good moments.
You have to want to watch
yeah.
Serie A.
It's like, just
you
need such to, a defensive league. Like, it's so...
You really need to, like, dial in.
Yeah, like, even the big games sometimes. Like, I get it happens in the Prem, too.
I mean, the big games in Serie A this year
if you want to talk about,
cinema.
If you want to talk about level and entertainment, I think the Prem is on the lower half of the top
especially
five
especially Arsenal lately.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, but the Prem is not.
No, I think so far it hasn't been great.
The Prem is... We just saw United was great. We had a 3-3 this weekend.
Before this weekend.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't know, man. Every Bournemouth game is an absolute fantastic watch lately.
It is crazy. Do you think every fan of their respective league believes that their team and their league is the best to watch? Or do you think people know?
No, I know Liga isn't the best.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's underrated. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Prem's just different. Like, it's just different.
Did you see... Speed with Ronaldo?
I did. That was cute.
And on the same day, Messi.
I'm happy. Ronaldo,
you see, Ronaldo and Messi.
Speed.
Ronaldo
well, yeah,
and Messi balling out.
They met.
Ronaldo and Messi balling out on the same day brought a tear to my eye.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. No, it didn't. You don't like Messi.
Was it a brace from Ronaldo and three goals and a hat trick from Messi?
You do not like Messi.
I do like Messi. I like See, I
someone pull up the receipts.
I love Ronaldo.
If you liked Messi, you would know he deservedly won the Ballon d'Or in 2020. Yeah.
Okay. See, no. But now you're just yes. fucking. Now you're fucking. Wait, that is
who
insane.
Did he? Who do you want to win over him?
Haaland.
Haaland, 2023, deserved the Ballon d'Or. I can like a player and say that at the same time.
I mean, what up?
We're not getting into this, sorry.
Yeah, we're not going to be here. So.
Shout out Villa for being Tottenham. And
yeah, shout out.
A little FPL roundup real quick?
Yes!
Quick FPL
yes,
roundup.
Yes, quick FPL roundup. Yes. Okay. So, updates in the league. Miles has changed his name. So he will not be getting
also, he wasn't here last week. And he didn't change his name by last week.
He's not here every week, I feel
yeah.
like.
Point deduction.
Miles, bro. So what is his new name? Teta Penitentiary.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough for me to say.
Or Teta Penitentiary.
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 Yeah.
Okay. You know what that is, right?
Sure. Anyways, Dam Danso last once again this week. 67 points. I like that.
hold on. No, he's going to 69 though.
He's going to 69?
He's at least going to 69.
Well, unless you get a red card from Igor Thiago.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know, to be
so
fair.
6 points from Raya, 12 from Gabriel, 7 from Saka, and a Haaland captain for 26. That's about it, honestly. I'm sure you're not too pleased with Semenyo's performance in terms of FPL, of course.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't really care what he does because we all have Semenyo.
Really what about NDI?
Yeah. NDI?
I thought he played like very good.
NDI was really so good. Especially in the first half.
Yeah. He's one of those set and forget players.
Okay, know? Really?
I think so. He's kind of like old and reliable. Like he's kind of like a Raya and Gabriel. Like sure, he may not explode, but he's just a consistent like 6 points every 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know?
And João Pedro?
I brought in João Pedro this week because again, right? I had to sell Palmer because he's injured, and then I needed to sell João Pedro to bring in.
See, that's how I know there's levels. See, good managers got rid of Palmer about 5 weeks ago.
To be fair, he's been gone out of my squad.
He's been gone out of your squad. Anyways, number three this week.
It was before he got fucking injured, all right?
Number three this week. Teta Penitentiary. There you go.
Oh, that was good.
Raya with six. Van de Ven with zero. It's unfortunate. Gabriel 12. I feel like we all have kind of the same template team.
We really do.
Bruno Fernandes with 8. Haaland captain with 26.
This is why FPL is boring now.
No, it's not.
No, it's very boring. It's exciting, but like, that, no, okay, this is what I'll say. The roundups. Yes. The roundups are boring.
No, they're not.
The roundups are slightly boring because it's all like, oh yeah, Raya did well. Oh yeah, Gabriel did well. Senesi blanked. Virgil van Dijk blanked. It's just all the same teams.
Let's move on. To puffing on Zuby. Use the chip this week.
Yes.
The triple captain chip on Mr.
Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland, and it paid off. 39 points from the lad. Saka, vice captain, 7 points. Would have had you 21 if Haaland had played. So that would have paid off too.
Yeah, facts.
Gabriel with 12. And oh my God, that's it.
You're in the top 700K now, Blake. Is that the highest you've ever been?
Not bad, eh?
Not bad.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah, is this the highest you've ever been?
It's pretty high, man.
First in the first league.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. And look who you overtook.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty good, man. I'm going to say one thing. The goalies have been horrendous for me all year. I need to change it up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because who is it right now?
It's Petrovic and it's fucking Matzell.
Yeah,
bro.
You got to get out of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So second in the overall league, 496 points.
What is this?
You ask me this every time, bro.
Wait, yeah, what is that?
Every time. I'll tell you off camera.
What is FPL with monkey emoji? Okay.
He said off camera as well.
So again, once again, Frim Ping Pong. Towering
just
over.
Just generational.
Towering over the competition. 6 points from Raya, 12 from Gabriel, 7 from Saka, 8 from Bruno Fernandes, 17 from Mateta. Wow. The real differential this week, yeah. And 26 from Haaland. With
to play. Wow.
Paqueta and Thiago still to play. That's 85 points.
Thiago Silva to play?
Igor Thiago, sorry.
Yeah, that's
dude,
a crazy...
It's been a long
time. That's a crazy week from you. And Esteban on your bench. And Dubravka.
Bench
boosted.
Check the overall ranking.
That's for
damn, bro.
Yeah.
God.
31,400
in France, bro.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
That's crazy.
How are there more people in the Sunderland League than the French League? That's crazy. Do French people just not play FPL?
I'm sure they don't.
They probably play.
Is there a Liga Fantasy?
Is there Liga Fantasy?
I said Liga FPL. F Liga.
That's going to wrap it up.
L1. Anyways. L1F. That'll do it. That'll do for another episode of the Six Star Box Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in once again. We won't have a little Champions League roundup later in this week, unfortunately, but we will be back next week with that roundup, also an El Clasico roundup, a bunch more footy action coming in the next week that we'll all go over in 7 days' time. We hope you have a fantastic week. This has been myself, this has been Blake, and this has been European champion Antoine, and we will see you all next week.
We out.
Yeah. Goodbye. Thank you.